Welcome to Over the Rainbow, a safe space and voice for all queer identities. I'm your host, Rachel Keithley, and I use she, her pronouns. Every other Wednesday, we bring you new episodes dedicated to queer education, representation, and activism. I always like my guests to introduce themselves, so would you like to go ahead?
Sure. My name is Shannon Hutchison. My pronouns are she, her.
And I'm Stephanie Hope, pronouns she, her.
Amazing. Thank you very much. And today on this episode, I'm super excited to have you because we're going to be talking all about queer visibility and breaking down biases. But before we do, let's start by sharing something we've done this week to engage in queer education or activism. So on my Instagram page, I've, as everyone probably already knows, I'm a massive, massive reader. So I've started sharing. I used to just share LGBTQ plus books, but now I've tried to theme it and categorize it. So I'm creating a series where I share books with non-binary characters. Here are some books with gender fluid characters. And most recently today, I've shared books with lesbian characters. And I found that this has been really well received because, you know, that representation for each identity group is so, so important. So they can just go there and read those books. And then people also recommend books to me. So my Goodreads list is just getting bigger and bigger, but that's the opposite of a problem for me. I love that. So that's what I've been doing.
That's true. And we always love what you're posting and love like how you're tackling so many different things. But my favorite things that you post are the positive things that are happening around the world. Cause that, I don't know, it just feels good to see that there's movement and there's progress. And I mean, all of us in the community are well aware that, there are obstacles and there are like things in place that are blocking us, but to know that there's this positivity happening too is just really hopeful to see it. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, I like a good queer win.
Yeah.
What about yourself? What have you been up to this week?
Awesome. So this week, we kind of are always doing stuff, so it kind of looks the same week to week. I started a community project a while ago called Beyond Our Image, and it's actually growing more into a job that I'm doing workshops and that kind of thing, which is awesome that the kind of people are actually, the demand is there, which is great to see that businesses are kind of moving in that way and schools are moving in that way too. But I'm starting a new campaign and it's all about how we are more than our labels. And so it started as more of a softer approach where I was taking photographs of people and asking the same questions and kind of what their experiences with belonging have been. But it wasn't really hitting the point. And so it was nice and it was soft and it was neat to hear stories, right?
The people were saying, oh, you know, I want world peace. And it wasn't digging down into, you know, deeper issues and vulnerability.
Yeah.
So the new version is asking more pointed questions and, yeah, we're really excited about it.
Yeah, so I'm taking photographs of people around Calgary, but I've also featured people internationally who are up for sending their photo in. And the questions are all around what is a label that you hold that or have held that has kind of gotten the way, has like created obstacles for you, and just answering those questions and then adding the hope piece in is how have you overcome this, or what are kind of methods that you can use to just work with this on day to day. But the really interesting part about it was once I started talking about this, there were more people outside the community as well that were saying how labels have really impacted them and they could relate to that. So my mom, for instance, she didn't graduate from university and she always held that label of housewife with her, right? That people were using that and she just felt so pinned down. So I take photos of people within the 2SLGBTQI+ community, but also people from other minority groups and anybody who's kind of felt affected by a label. So that's kind of the big work that we do week to week is just taking those photos, putting the campaigns together. And then Steph and I also have onelove.ca, which is a couples account, which is all about bringing joyful ideas to people. But the main driver behind it has been that we wanted more visibility and I think the big thing was 3 years ago, we would never have been brave enough to put that out there. Like, we were so scared of what people would think or say or how we'd be judged. But we put it out there and it feels really good. And just like nice to feel brave, I guess, with it.
And connect with other people who have, you know, walked down that road or are trying to. So just, yeah. Increased visibility and connection in the community.
And allies too. Mm-hmm. That's been really solid too.
Yeah, sorry. I've loved that about creating online spaces, getting that community from within the queer community and outside as well.
Yeah, because I think when we are able to pull in the outside, outside the community, that's where real change starts to happen, right? Is when people can see, oh, like relate to something or start breaking down their views of something, and then that change starts to happen. So, but we need people within the community to feel safe to relate to before the next step happens, I think.
Yeah, which is, I guess, exactly what we're talking about today, is this queer visibility piece and then the work you've been doing to enable and empower people to be visible. Let's just start right at the beginning, just for anyone who's maybe not sure. And just, can you share a little bit about how important queer visibility is to the community?
Yeah, sure.
Sure. You know, obviously, I believe it's extremely important. You know, growing up, I wish that there was more representation in media, you know, in literature, or even just in the workplace. So, you know, it's very important for queer people to see themselves reflected in a positive light. You know, they need to be seen as, you know, likable, charming, friendly, stable. So it's very important and exciting that we are seeing an increase, you know, in general, I'd say. That doesn't mean that we're all the way there yet.
Yeah.
Some work to do.
There is.
But I do feel that there's more support than there used to be, and even just being open and out in the workplace. You know, that's something that 10 years ago I would not have done, but I feel very supported now, and I want to provide that for other people. So
yeah. And we were talking the other day about, like, I think the first time I ever saw two women kiss, I was probably 19. And I'm like, what? Like, that's a thing that happens? I didn't even, like, have any information that was something that happened, right? And that's when my wheels, like, oh, okay. Like,
is that me?
yeah, exactly. What is happening here? But the fact that we had never even seen it, whereas now there is more visibility. And then we are also talking about, I'm a teacher as well. I'm taking the year off to focus on Beyond, but we started a GSA in our school last year, which is a Gender Sexuality Alliance. And before, like 2 years ago, I would not have been out to the students. It was a very, it was a lot of new immigrant families that I was working with. There were some very religious families, so I didn't want to come out, and I didn't know what they would say, how they would perceive it. There's even like a bit of a safety thing with my job, not from my employer, but what will parents say, right? And make up. And now we had a great principal come in, and he knows like my life story, not my life story, but some of my story. I didn't tell him all of it. And he encouraged me to start it. And as soon as I said I would, like tons of my teacher friends were like, we are supporting you. We are leading this with you. And so it's neat that the kids had some representation, some visibility toward, like, even kids that have just never even seen somebody within the community. They're like, wait a minute. We like Miss Hutchison. She's a good teacher, right? Like, it just kind of shake their beliefs a little bit. And it went really well. And then there were kids in the school that either were starting to question things, or their parents were in the community, and just to see the support of the other kids in them was, it was huge. So yeah, visibility is a big, big thing for sure.
And I think especially now it's so big, you know, with the United States, they've got their Don't Say Gay bill, they've got all, they're clamping down on that visibility in schools. And I went to school in the UK when it was illegal to teach about same-sex relationships or LGBTQ plus identity. You weren't allowed to be out as a teacher. So it's a very, very different environment to be growing up in if you're not even allowed to speak about it, to now having that visibility and having that support.
It's terrifying. And I think that's, I mean, that's where all of us are so important. And that's where the internet, in some ways it's not great, and other ways it's great, because students that are in the States that aren't allowed to see it can now research, look it up, right? And see positive influences elsewhere, which is huge, I think. But it is terrifying down there.
It is
there,
terrifying,
right?
What's like, happening to our neighbors and stuff.
Yeah.
We're happy to be in Canada.
Yeah. Especially when you're like, it's 2022, guys.
Yeah. What is happening?
Like, how? How? Right?
But it's so important, isn't it? Because of the fact that these things are happening, and because of the fact that when you've got those movements and those loud voices saying that queer identities are wrong and you shouldn't be queer, they're creating biases towards the queer community. And I guess, can you share, whether it's in your experience or just from observations or people you've photographed, what are some of these biases towards the queer community?
Yeah, for sure. We've kind of like dug deep into this, and Steph and I have had lots of conversations around it, like how biases are affected by the beliefs that we hold, and then also the assumptions that we make. And so it's huge. There's so many things. There's one like belief from a lot of religious communities that we're sinning. And then there's a fear that comes up with that, right? Like if you think that your child is going to go to hell, if they go to this, of course, like you are fearful, right? And so you're moving away from the queer community. Violence happens, a lot of hate. Like we heard there was, your brother was working this at Pride this year, and at the place he was working, they're handing out rainbow little sleeves.
Coffee sleeves.
Yeah. And somebody came in and refused to take that sleeve, wanted the regular sleeve. And then they were selling some. They were for, it was like a queer camp for kids or something. And somebody came in and dumped them all in the garbage. And so, yeah, this obviously, when we hear that stuff, when you see that stuff, you want to retreat because you're fearful for violence, you're fearful for anything else, right?
At the same time, it's just reinforces the need for pride.
Yeah.
And it needs to be bigger and longer.
Yes.
Until these things stop. So
yeah, so I think, yeah,
gayer.
Yeah.
365 days a year.
Yeah, totally. So I think with religion, that belief definitely moves through a lot of people. And then we heard another comment from a friend a while ago that was just talking about how they're not going to push back against the queer community, but they don't believe that two men can love each other. It's not real love. But they're going to accept it, but they don't think it's real love. And so with that belief, it changes your legislation. It changes decisions that are made, because if you don't think that that is real love, then you're obviously not going to see marriage as like real, I guess, right?
Or those relationships, or even when it comes to employment, you just, the validation isn't there.
It's that old, I'm not homophobic, but, and it's like, yeah, the second you say but, you clearly are.
Yeah. There's a bias there, whether it's unconscious or not.
Yeah. And then businesses, we have like one hopeful story that happened here where the bias was actually moving towards the queer community. And that was really great. There was a city near us that wrote there was their city pride was reaching out for sponsorships, and the owner of this business wrote back a really awful letter, stay away from my kids, all of that stuff, right? And they actually produce food, and all of these huge markets pulled their food from, and huge tourist destinations pulled their food off the shelves,
off the menus. Yeah, so in support of the community, pride, everything. It was just a very shocking, hateful email that was sent, and guess what, it's publicized and everyone is aware now, and everyone has rallied behind the community, which is positive.
Yeah, and Steph and I were talking about how probably 10 years ago it would have been the opposite, right? Or maybe it would have been more neutral, 20 years ago, opposite, right? Mm-hmm. Like where, yeah, the company might have got more business. And I'm sure they did get some more business from certain people, but overall, like there were big people pulling their food off their shelves. Mm-hmm. And so that was a positive for sure, which... I just like how you always go into the positive, and that was one. A negative one, I'm a photographer as well, and I posted an ad with two brides on it, and I got some hate, a mail that was sent to me, and one of them was talking about what a real family is, and the other one said, and I kind of laughed about this, what they said, we were looking for a photographer for our family's wedding, and you've lost our business. And the part of me that laughed at it was like, I don't want your business, right? But it is true that when people have misconceptions, when they hold negative beliefs about the community, then business can be lost as well, right? So yeah, legislation, I think day to day as well, how comfortable you feel about talking about your partner or not, is definitely influenced by that. And also there's a lot of studies done at hospitals and stuff that you don't get as good treatment if they find out that you're in the community, because people with their biases tend to move towards people that are like them, right? And move away from people that are not like them. And so our hope through like different projects is to show our like common humanity. And that way it starts breaking down the bias, because you see, oh, wait a minute, you are like me, right? You have the same fears, you have the same love, you have the same struggles. And therefore suddenly those beliefs and those misconceptions start getting broken down.
Yeah. And I think that's so important, isn't it? It's so basic, because all of this fear is rooted in falsehoods and exaggerated versions of like what queer people are or who queer people are, like, you know, their old trope of queer people being predators, and it's just I mean, we all know it's just completely untrue, but you can understand how if that's the only narrative you've been told, how you would be fearful of that. So it's like you said, it's finding that balance between not entertaining the space of people who are homophobic and transphobic, but at the same time needing to welcome them into our space and saying, actually, here's the true narrative, the accurate narrative. We're not predators, we're not this, we're not that, this is who we are, and we're just like you.
And mm-hmm. I think it's through story, and it's through people going out of their bubbles. Like, it's going to be, the change is going to happen not with people that are on the extreme end, but the people that are more in the middle. So we also had a family member that was posting stuff about pedophiles, like all stuff within the community. And I don't think he knew about my sexuality. And once he knew, he now asked about Steph and I, and I almost think he needed a face. Like, it was so far removed from him. And then he knew somebody, and I think it shook his thinking, right? He's suddenly like, wait a minute. Like, wait,
oh, maybe they're not all, queer people aren't pedophiles. I know one.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do think it's through story and through actual personal interaction.
Mm-hmm. That- yeah, absolutely. I think that is, it's the most powerful way to learn about anything, isn't it? It's like, if you've experienced it, or you know someone who's experienced it, and you've got that emotional investment, then you've got that empathy, and you learn better. And I think that's something you've been doing really well, is utilizing real human stories and photography to help break down these biases and bring the communities together. So I know you started talking about it a little bit at the beginning, but can you tell me more about the projects you've got going on, the ones you've got planned, and I guess the outcomes of these projects, both for the queer community and for the wider world as well?
Yeah, for sure. Well, the When You Pass By campaign, that was like what we're turning into a little bit more direct. But When You Pass By, what it was I was photographing people and asking them three questions. And the three questions were, when you pass by, I hope you see, I want you to know, and I wish for you. Now, the goal of it was for people to understand that when I see somebody, I might not understand their story. But that's why we're having it a little bit more pointed now. And then there was a piece around belonging, like, what has your experience with belonging been? And it was really powerful, like, to see the responses from people reading the stories. But even more powerful was the people that were photographed. The feedback was just about how they were given a voice. And that just gave them that confidence and that courage. So we actually had two people come out during it. There was, which was huge. So the one person I had met with at the beginning, like, I knew that he was like starting to want to come out. But then when he answered the questions, he didn't come out with that. And so I just messaged him, like, no pressure at all. But I could sense that he kind of was wanting to. I'm like, but if you want to add this, you can. And then he's like, I think this is a sign from the universe, because I was wanting to, and then I got really scared, so I didn't do it. And so in the end, he found the courage and he did it. And 6 months later, he emailed me and said, because of that campaign and just the support, I've come out to my family now. And he said, it didn't go like perfect, but I am out and I feel good about it. So that was really cool. Other things that was really neat was just seeing how people from, like, new immigrants, like all different communities that were feeling the same way. So I want to be seen for who I am and not for this label that people see as soon as they see me, right? They make all these assumptions. And then another one that I'm still running, it's in the back. You know how it works. You always have to collect everything and then you can start putting it out. It's called Swipe Your Stereotype. And the idea of it is, you read about someone first. So you read about their fears, their hopes, their dreams, and then some funny things. And then when you get to a page, you like kind of try and figure out what they look like. And once you have that image in your mind, you swipe and you see what they look like. And it really points out what your assumptions are. And it can bring you to some of the biases you might have, because you might see, I am an athlete. And you assume, if you are an athlete, that they look like you. And then you see somebody that looks totally different than you, and it just shakes you up a little bit. And yeah, and during that, actually, another person came out and to their mom, and their mom had sent me a message like, you just opened up a whole can of worms. But it was really cool, and they are living who they are now. And I mean, their mom is very supportive and everything, but she didn't know, because those questions had never been asked. So yeah, that was really cool. So just, yeah, shaking up kind of thinking. And then in workshops, like, I do it at the schools, and that's really cool to see kids' conversations. Like, you had talked about, there was one, I am brave, and all of the kids thought it was a male, all of them. And we went into that. Why do you think I am brave means that you're male, right? And like, does anybody have any females in their lives? Does anybody have somebody who's not male in their life, like, who is brave? And they all shot their hand up, right? And they're like, yeah, my mom's way braver than my dad. So we're like, well, why are we, right? But it's really cool, because kids can have conversations that adults can't. So adults get so fearful to say, well, I think that person's Black, or I think somebody who's non-binary looks like this, right? So with adults, it's a little bit quieter and you just hope that they're reflecting in their head, which I think they are. But with kids, you actually hear that conversation, right? And you can really dissect it, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it actually reminds me of like two stories that are UK based. So one was a school class was given a task. I think there were about six, these school children, and they were given a task to draw pictures of people with different jobs. So they said, draw a firefighter, draw a police officer, draw a doctor. And 96% of the class drew a man. And then they had a firefighter come in, a police officer come in, and a doctor come in, and they were all female. And it was like resetting that stereotype of like gender. And that was so, so positive. And then there's another example. So I don't know if this ever made it to the international news, but oh, I should have checked it quite a few years ago now. There was a girl and her boyfriend who were goths and members of the goth community. Her name's Sophie Lancaster, and she was beaten to death for being a goth, for looking different, for looking punk when she was 20 years old. And so they've set up the Sophie Lancaster Foundation, her family since then. And what that foundation does is it goes into schools and shows pictures of different kids who look quote unquote different. One of these pictures is of Sophie Lancaster, but they don't say the names. And they say to the children, write down some words to describe these children and tell me what you think they look like and who you think they are based on these pictures. And so there's two pictures, the one of Sophie and the one of one other person who look, again, quote unquote, different and who you would ordinarily prescribe as, all they're rebels, they're lawbreakers, they're criminals. And then at the end of this discussion, they say, oh, actually, this is my sister, Sophie Lancaster, and she was murdered for looking different. And you just see the kids' faces drop and they're like, oh my goodness, we made these assumptions about this person who was completely innocent. And I mean, it's a really quite a scary way of doing it, but it shows how necessary it is, because she was murdered by peers, by other young people who just took one look and said, no, you're different and I don't like that.
Wow.
Really, yeah. Powerful, that exercise.
Yeah, no kidding. And I think it takes people being shaken up a little bit, right, to really look at things.
Absolutely. And it's sad and it's horrible that that has to be used. But I think, a similar thing's happening with your swiping stereotypes movement. It's like you think you're finding a description of someone and you're building an image. And it's like, well, a description of what someone's job is or who they're attracted to or their interests is not nowhere near enough information to know what that person looks like, yeah, or the rest of their personality that you'll probably fill in based on the fact that you know that they're queer or you know that they're a woman. There's just so many different facets of a person. So I think that's quite a big and important thing that you're doing.
Thanks. I'm like loving it. And Steph is part of a lot of it too, for sure.
It's exciting. I'm really proud of you for taking that sabbatical and pursuing this full time. It's exciting. Thank you.
Yeah. So I guess off the back of, besides accessing your resources that you're building, how would you like listeners, wider society, to help contribute to breaking down these biases and supporting, I guess, not just visibility of queer people, but visibility of all marginalized communities?
I think like there's so many ways to do it. The biggest way, like we talked about before, is I think it's through story and human interaction that we're going to move forward. And so encouraging people to step outside their comfort zone, step outside like the regular group that they hang out with, that little bubble. And if you are an ally, go to Pride events. Get to know people who are different than you, because as soon as you do, that's where your biases just like start to melt away, right? Is through that interaction. I think within the queer community, where it is safe to do so, be visible. You were talking about like just us holding hands, even when we feel kind of scared to do so, but not unsafe, right? But just scared, is be able to touch in public. And
we will get stares sometimes, but it's more like just we've shifted our mindset to, they're probably just really jealous.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's what we always do. They really wish they live this life and they can't.
Poor non-queers.
Yeah.
Sad for them, really.
Yeah.
Because before, you know, maybe it was just the filter in my head thinking, oh, they're staring because they don't like it, or they don't like me. What are they thinking? But now, you know, maybe he's thinking, oh, okay, that's my daughter. My daughter is queer. So maybe, yeah, that looks like a normal relationship. So,
right.
Yeah, shift from the shadows to being just more open and really, it's happier. It's a happier yeah. life being out, being open and sharing our joy with others.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah.
And then some of our friends have done some cool things as allies. And I think like we were talking before how kids, like that's where you're going to make a big difference. Not that it's not too late as adults, we should learn and stuff, but if you have access to your own children to change their minds. So one of our friends for her baby shower asked for diverse books because she wanted to start right from the beginning of reading books with different families, books with people of different genders, books of people who are like different colors, books of people like who might be different abilities. And she wanted to be able to read those to her kids right from the beginning. And what was really cool was at the baby shower, she pulled out a book of like Mom and Me, and you could see people's faces like, what? And then she talked to everybody about it. Like, this is really important. And I'm like, I wonder how many people there then went out and got a book. And hopefully there were some, but, and then you were talking.
I was, even just with allies or anyone really, just honesty. You know, there have been times when I've been introduced as Shannon's best friend. And I don't understand why you would hide the fact that we're dating. And it's going to be very confusing for those kids later when they're like, oh, those best friends got married? Like, what? I didn't know that they were dating. I don't understand why you would hide it. So I think honesty, openness, just helps normalize and increase awareness and visibility. Yeah. So
it is, and it's funny, like people get so fearful, right, about how do I bring this up to my kids. And I have to be honest, like in the schools I was scared to start talking about it because I didn't know what entry point to start at. But yeah, just before I left, I had the most beautiful conversation with a grade 1-2 class, and I read the book Tango Makes Three. I don't know if you've ever, it's so good.
Yeah, yeah, I love
that's
that.
That's one of the resources I would recommend. And so for people who don't know, it's about two male penguins at a zoo, and they fall in love and they're trying to have a baby with this rock, and the zookeeper sees it. And it's a true story, which I think is really cool as well. Because people who go into the biology side, you can say, well, like there are animals around the world, right? Like there's more to it than just the parts of how you make a baby, right? But I brought this and I talked to the class, and the teacher is a good ally, but she wasn't sure how to talk to them. So she's like, would you mind just doing this one lesson and then I can take it from there? And it was so cool. Like, there are students who are quite religious. They're from different countries, and all of them related so strongly to this book. I can't say all of them, but there was a good conversation where a bunch of them were like, my family's different too. Like, I just have a mom, or my family's different too. I live with my auntie and my mom and right. And all of the kids, because it's simple. It's just like, there is a family that has two moms, or there is a family, like, just, it's such a, it's just facts. And so, yeah, like Steph was saying, if friends are just like, oh yeah, Steph and Shannon are together, kids are like, okay.
Okay, right? Accept it, move on.
Yeah, even if they might even not do okay, they just like keep playing with their train, right? Like,
so uninterested, like that's just not even exciting news.
Yeah. And even like books about gender too, there's some really good ones, and I wish I wrote the names down because I can never remember names of books, I just have them on the shelves. But there's great books about gender too, and it's so funny when you read them to kids, there's not even like a blink in their eye, right? They're like, that makes sense, because they're getting told everything in their life, like that's a couch and this is the word for this and this is the word for this. And yeah, and some people are born with certain parts, but that's not what their mind is, right? And so that's not who they are. And then kids are just like, oh, yeah, okay, right?
The number of kids who just like, when someone comes in with new pronouns, they're like, I've got this. And then they correct the adults and it's like, come on, if kids can get this right, we can also get this right.
I know. We're not too old to learn.
On top of all these resources, obviously we've spoken about the resources you have. So where can the listeners find you?
Yeah, so for Steph and I, onelove.ca on Instagram. Yeah, we like to be silly and wear costumes, but also we bring awareness to different businesses within Calgary that are doing great things. So we're trying to do kind of what we talked about before and draw in allies with like the joyful ideas and everything. And then they're seeing a lesbian couple that are doing things that they're doing, but maybe more fun sometimes. And then for my project, it's Beyond Our Image on Instagram, and then beyondourimage.com for our website. And if anybody is up for being featured, is up for talking about their label and getting into that conversation and wants to be featured, they can just send me a message because I love getting more of our community involved.
Definitely. And yeah, you can be anywhere in the world for the photo project. We can make it work. Yeah.
I volunteer. Pick me.
Yay! All right.
There's one. Amazing. And just to finish, I know you've already shared Tango Makes Three, but are there any other shows, resources, or books that you want to plug?
There's one podcast I listened to that just shifted my mind on how we can approach allies and people, and how all of us can change our minds, because all of us hold biases, and that's okay. That's how our minds are made up. It's how we make sense of the world. It's just us becoming aware of those biases and then changing that thinking. And so nobody needs to beat themselves up for having a bias, because our brain has to have them, right? But just being aware and changing our actions. And so Janet Mock on, I love Oprah so much. I listen to all her Super Soul Conversations, but Janet Mock's Super Soul Conversation, I've listened to it dozens of times. I've sent it out to so many people because she's talking about just redefining realness and the importance of speaking your truth. But I think it speaks so highly like to everybody. It connects with everybody and just brings a humanness in it. So yeah, I highly recommend that one.
Oh, amazing. Well, I'll be linking all of these to the show notes, but thank you so much for coming along today. It's really exciting to see the work you're doing, and it was great to chat to you about it.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Thanks so much for having us. It's nice to chat with you.
Yeah. It is. It always feels so good just to connect with other people, right? And you're doing so much great work that it's fun to be able to do it.
Just spreading the queer joy together.
Yeah, I know.
That sounded weird, but we'll go with it.
I actually have one more resource. Her name is Loretta Ross, and she is unbelievable. She is like, just blows my mind all the time, but you can take different workshops with her, and she's really big into the human rights movement and very big into how, like, she talks about how the right side is really good about coming together over one topic, whereas the left side very much divides, is pointing fingers, like, you don't know my pain, you use the wrong term, like, and instead of calling each other in, we're calling each other out. And so she does a lot of work around how we can call each other in. But what reminded me of it is she's like, this movement should be fun. And she's like Pride does such a good job because it's a fun party, like, of course everyone wants to be there, right? And so she's in her 70s, she's a Black woman in the States, and she's done unbelievable work and has really gone through a lot of things, like was there for some KKK wives that needed, like, they became, pretended they had a crochet club, and she came in and talked to them because she was told that if you want people to leave the KKK, you have to be there for them. And she swears a lot and she's like, F that, I don't want to be there for them. But then she realized, like, actually I do. So all of her resources are just like, they're so good. And it's very much a, how can we do this together? How can we move together? So yeah, I forgot. I highly recommend her. And she's funny. She's like, do not follow me. Do not, like, so when she has workshops, she has different people present. She's like, because if you follow me, that's called a cult. We don't want a cult. We want a human rights movement. So she's very deliberate about having lots of people and being able to disagree, but be able to support and call each other in. So yeah, that's a huge one.
Which that representation of voices is so important. But I feel like if I'm going to join a cult, that's probably the one I'm joining. Yeah. So.
Like that one. She's really funny. But very insightful, and her techniques about, you know, having those difficult discussions with people that you do not see eye to eye with are very useful. Mm-hmm. Because you can't help but run into, or even have within your own family, people with different views or opposing views. So she's got some really helpful techniques that we've actually been able to implement. So Loretta Ross.
I personally am going to check those out. The tensions are high in the UK now with the monarchy and the Queen's death. And there's very much the abolitionists and the pro-monarchists. And it's like, no one's meeting in the middle. Everyone's... Tensions in all families. So this might be good tips for me. It's really good. Read this.
Well, and she's so good at, like, talking about, when do you call someone in? When do you call them out? When do you call on them? She goes all through it, but it's all through love and kindness until somebody is malicious, and then she is hard, and she is like, she's fascinating and has done just such cool work. And Steph and I started listening to her because of different things happening with family that we had to have difficult conversations. And so some of her techniques are hard though, and she'll admit that, because calling in, you have to, like, well, what do you mean by that? And you have to listen. And sometimes we don't get there, but we try, right?
It's an uphill battle.
Yeah, totally.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for today. I've really, really enjoyed this conversation. I'm going to go check out all these resources.
Okay, yeah, for sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening today. New episodes are available every other Wednesday, so please do download, share, and hit that subscribe button so you don't miss a thing. Our topics are designed to be engaging, so if you have any questions or feedback, please do get in touch. You can find us on Instagram at _overtherainbowpodcast, Facebook at OverTheRainbowPodcast13, and Twitter at OverRainbowPod. We also have a queer book club, Reading the Rainbow, so if you want to join us in reading the queer universe, please check out our Facebook page for more information. Have a queer week, and I'll see you over the rainbow. Thank you.